U.S. media say Saudi Arabia has given multi-million dollar houses in the kingdom and monthly five-figure payments to the children of slain journalist Jamal Khashoggi. According to the Washington Post, the journalist's kids have received the payouts as compensation for the killing of their father. The report said the long-term financial incentive is aimed at keeping Khashoggi's family quiet about the murder case despite a global outcry. A team of Saudi agents killed and dismembered Khashoggi and the kingdom's consulate in Istanbul back in October last year. The CIA has concluded that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, also known as MBS, ordered the killing. Saudi officials have strenuously denied that MBS was involved in the incident. To discuss that more, we're joined by Ali Rizk, a political commentator who's joining us live from Beirut, and also Michael Arnold, a researcher on Islamic studies and Middle East from Istanbul. Thank you very much to both of you gentlemen for joining us. Let's begin with Mr. Rizk. Now, what do you think is the main reason behind this? Or is the Saudi government really afraid of Khashoggi's family, that they might take the case to court or do something to help the international probe on Khashoggi's killing?
Before I answer that question, but just allow me to point out to the fact that these latest revelations show that the American media isn't letting up on the issue of Jamal Khashoggi. I think that the Saudi royal family had hopes that in the end the American mainstream media would let up or back down, not shed spotlight on this issue. But, you know, this continues. The highlighting of the Khashoggi case is continuing, as we can see from these latest revelations. In response to your question, yes, I do think that the Saudis are very afraid of what revelations might take place. Recently we had a column by the Washington Post columnist David Ignatius referring to the damage done to bilateral Saudi-American ties as a result of the Khashoggi case. Saudi Arabia's image in Congress is tarnished as well. We have leading senators and members of the House speaking out against Saudi Arabia, specifically after what happened with the Khashoggi case. So I think, yes, Saudi Arabia views that this is vital, you know, to try and put limits on any further damage which could take place as a result of any more revelations which could come from Khashoggi's children. And that's why I think they went ahead with this step, trying to compensate to prevent any more damage from being done.
Now, Mr. Rizk, don't you think they should be more afraid of Mr. Khashoggi's fiancée, because she was basically the main reason why the story came out so soon, not allowing Saudi Arabia to clean up everything that it had done before media got involved?
Well, Khashoggi's fiancée is Turkish. Now, in this particular story in the Washington Post, the quotes were made from former Saudi officials and members of the Khashoggi family. That's why there was focus on Khashoggi's children. We never know. Saudi Arabia might be also doing the same thing with his fiancée, but that might have not come to light or been revealed. You know, that's also a possibility. It remains a possibility. But judging from now, because Khashoggi's fiancée has spoken in different places, for example, she participated in a meeting or a conference in the European Parliament not too long ago, spoke out about her fiancée's case. So it would appear that even if Saudi Arabia had made such overtures, that she probably rejected them. But nevertheless, I think the Saudis continue to remain in a tight spot. You know, we have more and more focus on Saudi Arabia's negative image. Yesterday, there was also an article in the Washington Post saying that it's possible that, according to the American Constitution, the suspects or those who perpetrated this crime against Khashoggi could be taken to the U.S. and tried in U.S. courts and sentenced either to death or to life imprisonment. So, as I said, you know, the screws remain very tight on the Saudis.
Thank you very much. Let's turn to Mr. Michael Arnold. who is joining us live from Istanbul. Now, what do we know about what's happening in Istanbul? We do know, of course, that the Turkish government is adamant in pursuing this and considers this a very important issue. And, of course, as we mentioned before, it was Mr. Khashoggi's fiancé who brought this issue to light at a point where it was just too soon for the Saudis to clean up the mess. First of all, do you think that they will try to reach out to Khashoggi's fiancé, and basically what is the Turkish government doing at this point?
I think, like your previous guest said, they may possibly try to reach out to her, but I think because she's a Turkish citizen, obviously it's a different dynamic than with his immediate family, who is are Saudi citizens and based in Saudi Arabia. So they may, but I don't know how far that would actually go if that was the case. In terms of what's happening in Turkey, I think the Turkish line has been clear for some time now. They are calling for an international investigation into the Khashoggi affair, and they continue to maintain this line. I think it's really important that, again, how, as the previous guest mentioned, this is the American media in particular is not letting up on this, and this will help further that. But I think, you know, it needs to be reemphasized that the international community in general needs to get on board with this, and they need to follow up as well with Turkish authorities, continuing pressure on Saudi Arabia, etc., in order to actually push this to a just ending.
What do you think are the options for MBS at this point?
Well, I think he is in a difficult position. I mean, he's been trying to recapture his image, traveling around the world, meeting with different leaders, speaking about, you know, of course, all sorts of investments. But I think, you know, as these editorials that are coming out in prominent American newspapers make very clear, is that the screws remain very tight in the place where it really matters for the Saudis and for MBS, which is Washington, D.C. So as long as the media in Washington, D.C. and the political figures in the Senate and the Congress maintain their pressure, I think he's going to be in a tough spot, regardless of what the Trump administration itself wants to see the relationship between them and MBS.
And as you mentioned, the Trump administration, we do know that Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of President Trump, has very close ties with MBS, and basically they even had telephone conversations regarding the issue. Do you think that Jared Kushner may come up with some kind of solution to bring MBS out of the spotlight regarding this issue, somehow find a scapegoat for all of this?
They may try, but again, I think that will be very difficult. And it seems as though the other elements within the Saudi royal family may be starting to recognize this. I mean, there's been numerous reports of splits between MBS and his father, as well as the retaking of certain key files from the hands of MBS back to the king. So I think, regardless of whether they want to do that or not, it's going to be very difficult until this issue is actually resolved.
Thank you very much. Let's turn back to Mr. Risk. Mr. Arnold pointed something quite interesting about MBS being in a very difficult spot right now. Do you think this will eventually lead to the Crown Prince having to be removed from the position that he has? What are the speculations for the future of MBS, considering all the pressure that U.S. media is putting on him, regardless of the fact that the Trump administration has offered full support for Saudi Arabia and MBS in particular?
I think that as long as Trump remains president, Mohammed bin Salman will be maybe, you know, will survive, let me put it this way, will continue to hold on to his position. Now, if we do have another administration after the 2020 elections, of course, I'm quite sure that will change. But for the time being, Trump and Jared Kushner, these people, they pin their hopes very much on MBS for what they call the deal of the century, meaning a normalization of ties between the Arab world and Israel. And that leads me to the point also about Israel. I think Israel also has a very big interest in Mohammed bin Salman remaining in power. And therefore, I think also the Israelis might try and use their influence in Congress in order to prevent this big backlash against Mohammed bin Salman. At the same time, however, despite this Israeli support for Mohammed bin Salman, many members of Congress and even the U.S. media continue their attacks. So I think we have to see who win the battle. But again, I think that as long as Trump is in power from now until 2020, bin Salman, he may encounter difficulties, but I think he will survive and stay in his post.
Thank you very much. Now back to Mr. Michael Arnold. We're running out of time, so if you could please wrap this up as quickly as you can. What do you think about the UN probe? Will this international probe lead to anything significant?
Well, I think the only way that it will lead to anything significant is if the pressure is maintained not only in the international community, but if we're going to be honest, most importantly in the United States. If the political pressure is maintained there, then there's a chance the international probe may go somewhere. Otherwise, I think it'll unfortunately probably not lead to a lot.
Thank you very much, Mr. Michael Arnold, researcher on Islamic studies in Middle East, joining us live from Istanbul, and Mr. Ali Rizk, a political commentator, joining us live from Beirut. Thank you to both of you gentlemen for joining us on this edition of the News Review, and thank you to all of our viewers for following it with us.